Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight the age of heroes has dawned and the quest for optimal wellness continues on Joyful Empowerment, hosted by Joanne Gajewski. Joanne, how are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you so much. And how are you, Hercules? How's everything on Mount Olympus?
Everything is phenomenally well, and I'm looking forward to sitting on my throne and watching your show or listening to your show.
I know. Awesome. Thank you so much. I love your enthusiasm for me. You're like my biggest fan.
I definitely am your biggest fan. I'll be here if you need me. Just follow.
All right. Thank you, Hercules. Hello, everybody out there. And welcome to another episode of Joyful Empowerment. I'm Joanne Gajewski, your host. I am a clinical mental health counselor that specializes in trauma, PTSD, and crisis intervention. I am also a practicing witch and a mother, wife, friend, and all kinds of other good things. And tonight, I am happy to have my wonderful friend, Amanda Keith, with me. And Amanda, for those that might not know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, so mental health has always been a focus of mine. Both my parents have dealt with it. But me personally, a little bit about me. I am a mother. I am a witch. I am a mambo, actually, in Haitian voodoo. I am a co-owner of a conjure shop in Indianapolis, Indiana, oddly enough. And I've been doing this most of my life, honestly. So,
well, that's pretty amazing. So if I was to ask you what joyful empowerment means to you, what would your response be?
Joyful empowerment means coming from the heart to align with the soul to heal and to know that you can overcome anything.
Oh, I like that answer. I like that. I like that answer. That lines up with my whole philosophy on healing, you know. I am a mental health practitioner, so of course I believe in therapy. Yes, you know, I'm not going to down that. That'd be a little off. But I also believe that things like trauma and mental illness and different things not only affect your mind, they affect your body, mind, and spirit. And it is known, you know, out of all the studying I've done over the last 10 years, I can definitely assure you that it affects all those places in our lives. You know, I've been studying a lot lately on somatic healing, which is how trauma affects our body and where it hides in our bodies and how to release it. And, it's pretty interesting, you know, on how, you know, it affects all areas of our lives, and spiritually it affects us too, no matter what denomination or what you practice. When you're going through a tough time, you question your spirituality, you know, it's like, oh, you know, the gods are not in my favor. And what have I done to, you know, we all get that kind of like mood. So
Absolutely.
To me, in order to heal completely, you got to hit all those points, you know, or chakras or whatever you want to call them.
Yes. And I, you know, with you saying that, you know, that's where spirituality, it was my healing point and my journey. And it's also been my destructor as well. So, because through some of the events I've been through, it's challenged me. It's forced me. But in that, the tower card pops up. If anybody is familiar with the tarot card, the tower, it literally, it's a forceful destruction.
Yeah.
But the rebuilding at the same time, the reversal is about rebuilding from that destruction and from that. And you do have to look. So it was,
Well, you know, my friend gave me a funny perspective on the tower. She had gotten that Vladimir or the Dracula tarot deck, and the way they portray the tower is, look, after everything that's gone on around you, you're still standing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a cool way to look at that card, too, because when we look at we all see certain cards like the death card or that tower. We're like, like everything else, like the gods and goddesses, every card has its light and shadow, you know. And what I try to take from it is you're going to have all this crap going on, but that tower is still standing up. You know,
yeah,
you're the tower and you're surviving the chaos. There's going to be chaos, a lot of it, but you're going to still stand through it. And I think that gets missed a lot when we do a reading and stuff and we see that card, you know, much like the death card, we think, oh, my God. No, it doesn't necessarily mean death. It means death of a rebirth. You know,
yeah.
you're getting rid of all the old and bringing up the new, you know? So yeah, definitely a valid point. So I look at it as you went through all that chaos, but look, you're still standing.
Exactly. Exactly. And it shows how strong the structure is. Because even if you look at the tower card, it's not the actual tower really imploding. It's parts of it. But that, like you said, it's still standing. Still, even that chaos, it's still standing. So it shows the strength. Going through the storm.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our scars, whether they be mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. We all have those scars, much like the pieces of the tower falling off. It's going to leave a mark, you know, like that movie said there. What was it, Tommy Boy? He's like, that's going to leave a mark. And yeah, it is going to leave a mark, but you're still going to be standing and that you're going to see, you know, that scar is showing, hey, I freaking survived, you know?
Exactly.
I survived all this chaos. I might be a little beat up, but I'm still here.
Then another part that I've enjoyed is, seeing the perfection, seeing the imperfections as perfect. That you are okay, that you're perfect just the way that you are. And that, for me, I'm still working on my perfectionism, but I mean, that was something.
Yeah,
I know, really
I'm wicked bad with that, too.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, absolutely.
I was so tired this last class. And I'm ridiculous. I'm such a perfectionist that if I saw a minus beside the A, I would be like calling the teacher, how do I get rid of that minus sign? You know, and they're like, but you have an A. I'm like, yeah, but there's a minus sign. And this class, my final class, I actually took a B because I was just exhausted. You know what I mean? I've been doing this for so long. It's like, I just, you know, no more papers, and PowerPoint presentations and things like that, you know, and case studies. I was just like, I've had enough. When does it end? I just want to go to bed, damn it.
I completely understand. I've been going, and I've been in the Temple of Witchcraft in the Mystery School for quite some years. I've gone through Witchcraft 4, and this has been the hardest year. Like, I never thought I was going to do. It's ceremonial magic. So, like, literally the whole
cool.
We went through the Tree of Life and each sphere.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was intense. And I never thought I was going to do it. I didn't even know if I was going to make it through, but I did. I finished up in September, and I was like, I did it. And it was a challenge.
That's awesome.
It was
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, I mean, a lot of
internal and mental work, you know?
It is. It is. But, you know, it's wonderful. Like, the program is fantastic. And, you know, Christopher and just the temple in general, I mean, I highly recommend it. But it's a challenge, and it gets you to view yourself in different ways, see your spirits in different ways, your practice in different ways. So throughout the years. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Now, it took you, what, 4 years to do that, or how long?
Yeah, I'm still in it. I'm still in it. There's still a continual work that I'll do, but year five is my final year. Yeah. Yeah. And not everybody makes it through, so.
Well, it's hard because, when I was doing that kind of work with my mentor, Mark Lyons, and as you know, when you start working in any spiritual practice, everything gets worse before it gets better because all that crud is coming out, and you feel awful. You're like, I came here for help. What the heck is going on? And, he put it to me pretty simply. He was like, being a witch is like when you start to practice and come into being a witch and being your own self, it's like flushing out a rain gutter. And I'm like, what? He's like, it's like flushing out a rain gutter. When you take that hose and run it through the gutter, all that crud has got to come out before the water comes out clear.
Yes.
And I said, absolutely. So you've got to face a lot of, much like I do, in my work, both spiritually and career-wise, I have to be very self-aware of what my biases are, where my head's at. You have to be very self-aware, and that can be hard. And a lot of people can't make it through that because it is a very difficult process. It really is, unlike me, though, lately I've chosen to go through my dark points on my own. Like after my dad passed, I went through 2021 was like total hell for me. 2021 was culling people out of my life and just a lot of realizations about people. 2022 was starting to rebuild myself, still getting rid of some more dead weight. And then 2023, I feel like I'm starting to break out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 2022 was my hell year. It was my chaos year.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A lot happened. I lost my godfather, that February.
I know.
And then, that kind of made me go, okay, where am I at in that tradition? And and I realized through that it's helped me actually grow stronger in that.
Yeah.
But I'm still healing. And then we went through the fire with the shop. I mean, we had opened the shop and it was booming. It was, it was not down.
I have my own little room there behind that were ready for me to come when I come out there.
Yeah. And, with the fire, we were grateful. We got a smaller retail space, but we mainly use it for production, for online. But we do have a small retail space that we have for the locals. And for me, it was just, it's been hard because, you're dealing with a corporation that really doesn't care, about small business and especially about what we do. And I had to deal with a landlord and I was like, we're a safe space for people. Most people, they don't feel safe. And I'm talking, LGBTQ, plus A, and then everything. Like, this was just a safe space for people because we're in Indiana and we are in a more conservative part of the state, of the country. And, I was like, this was a safe place. And it's been, we're just now starting to get answers and somewhat movement on the old space. So, it's been very tedious. It's the first word that comes to me. It's been very tedious and leaning on a lot of having to let go, a lot of the unknown.
That's a lot to release, and that's traumatic, too. The that's definitely traumatic. I know TJ had mentioned it was traumatic for him. He was, you know, he's like, I hear fire engines and I still cringe. And that's a very real thing, you know, and that's a perfectly normal way to feel. Sad to say, but it's true. You got to worry when you don't feel that, because now at least if you feel it in that level, you can acknowledge it and release it. When it hides in your body, that's where you have the issue. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, people, we don't realize how trauma affects us, like how it makes us feel. And if we, you know, when I was doing this seminar, the lady said, she's like, you know, we always pay attention to our mind, but what is our body doing? Our body can actually let us be a precursor to our trigger. Like, all right, this is making me feel weird in some type of way. You know what I mean? And it can actually like help you release and acknowledge it and work it out, you know, by acknowledging that feeling in your body too. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can do Tai Chi, you can do exercise, there's breath ways to breathe to release it. There's all different tactics that you can do. So I'm looking into doing a little bit of that and trying to add it to my practice when I start on my own, because I think that's a really cool thing to work in there for the body aspect, as well as, you know, your diet. What are you putting in your body, you know?
Yeah. You know, that my practice, how I work as a practitioner, I'm very much like you, because I am very, like, I look at the whole aspect of body, mind, and spirit, you know, because if you don't have all of that, and mental, you know, and emotional, like, if you're not hitting on all of that, you're still not going to, you're not going to see things clearly, spiritually, you're not going to feel, like, you have to pay attention to the whole picture and then see different modalities to help. So, yeah, absolutely. I completely understand what you're saying.
If you're working on your mind, but you're not working on that spiritual, you're miserable still spiritually, it's kind of canceling it out. You know what I mean? Whether you want to call it chakras or whatever, I just keep it simple for people, mind, body, spirit, you know, emotions or whatever, you know, you want to address all those things, you know, your brain. Yeah. You want to have a therapist, somebody you can talk to that's going to be a safe space, that's going to help you to come to those realizations that you need and sit there with you through them. Your spirit, you want to make sure you're amping up your spirituality, you're grounding and centering yourself. And, you know, doing all those things and some meditation to just, you know, release and stay calm. And you want to watch what you're putting into your body, you know, to see how your body feels. What are you putting into your body? Are you exercising? Are you moving at all? You know, and encompassing. You really have to change the whole lifestyle in order to feel better. And I think the problem today is we focus a lot on one aspect and not the full three, you know.
Yeah, I fully believe that.
What did you do to get through the fire? Like, how did you, you know, how did you get from there to here? You know, like, what helped you?
A lot of support. B, it was learning how to rest. It was learning how to rest because, I mean, all my life and the trauma that I've been through, I've always been on the go. And being a fire sign, I have a lot of energy normally. But I was never taught how to rest. And I was never taught, besides my meditation. And then I had got, you know, when we got into the shop, I was getting off my meditation because I was getting so busy. And that was the thing, finding the balance and making sure, you know, finding those key necessities of, like, I needed to dance or to work out. I needed to meditate. I needed to make sure I was eating cleaner and I was getting my full 8 hours of sleep. And sometimes I needed more sleep than that. And it was hard for me to stay all day in bed, like, because, but there were some days I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
and letting go of the guilt of going, I just need rest. I just need rest. So I think when we start listening to our bodies and to how we feel, and I think meditation is the biggest thing, because you can check in with yourself. A, what am I thinking? B, how do I need to correct it in journaling? And then, you know, I started going to therapy. I started, you know, I found a great therapist who I'm very grateful for. And to have that sounding board and then just reconstruct, I had to go, okay, let's lay out, what do I need? And I really meditation was a really core part, because I would just sit and listen to my spirits. Where do I need to go? What do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Why did this happen? You know, and for me, then taking it and writing it down, either journaling or even like I write poetry and I've sang and I write lyrics. So, you know, sometimes I would do that. Music has always been or I would listen to music to just get it out, or dance. You know, to me, dance and music has always been my go-to to help me get it out.
Yeah.
On top of the creativity. So that's where, you know, between that and then leaning on my faith and my ancestors, and knowing that I've gone through many other things, I will get through this.
Yeah.
And I'm stronger, and I'm going to show my children that they can get through anything. Because it affected all of us, because we lost our shop cat in the fire. So we had a double trauma during that time.
Yeah.
It was hard. And then on top of that, you're kind of getting shoved off and treated like it's not as important.
Yeah.
So
That's the way of the world lately. We talk a lot about what we should be doing, but a lot of times people, I like to say what should be and what actually are two different things, you know?
Yeah.
My daughter goes through that at school a lot because she's very neurodivergent. She's an Aspie, as you know. And, she's a sophomore in college, and I have to ask myself, at what point do we say we want to be accepted and neurodivergent this and that? At what point do you actually stop talking about it and actually do it? Because my daughter still gets harassed about it by other girls and whatever. And it's like, you know, at what stage do we stop the middle school behavior? You know, like I just don't get it, you know? I don't know. That's why I did this show, you know, to empower people that are going through things like that, because, you know, there are ways through it, and there are people out there that get it and have gone through it, and you can too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like how you hit on, you had to learn to rest. That really resonated with me for some reason.
Well, I mean,
probably because I never rest.
Well, I think that's why I was cheering you on, is like rest looks like things, kind of like meditation. When people are like, oh, you meditate all the time. Like, you could go out and walk in nature, and that's meditation. Anytime you're quieting your mind or getting it to focus and shift into a different state of consciousness, that is a form of meditation. It could be sitting and, you know, looking at your tarot cards, or just sitting there and just like just daydreaming. That's a shift of consciousness right there, you know? So to me, finding rest was the hardest part out of all of it.
Yeah.
Because I was not used to slowing down. And like you were saying, I don't slow down. I don't rest. And it's like, we're taught not to.
Yeah.
Like if you lay down.
And that's,
like,
that's what got to me was when you said that we were taught not to rest. And I think as women, especially, we go through that where we have to take care. We're taught we have to take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think realizing that it's okay if we're depressed. It's okay if we're just not in tune because you have those moments. I think we need to learn, especially as women, to be gentler on ourselves and to listen mm-hmm. to our bodies. But I also feel that men need to do the same.
Yeah,
because they
absolutely.
In different ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So,
I think, you know, I feel bad for men these days. You know, they get, it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard for everybody out there, and that's, you know, and that's why, you know, and I tell people, because I always have people, you know, and a lot of, you know, I work with a lot of at-risk youth, you know, kids that are range from age 14 to 23. And I can't sit still for that long. So you know what I did? You know how I like my little road trips and I take my little videos. You may not have 2 hours. You may not have 20 minutes, but everybody has 20 seconds. And I do these little videos of wherever I go, whether it's the river, the beach, or the sunset or whatever, 20 seconds of Zen. And I'll randomly send them to them, you know, when I know they're stressed out. And I'll, you know, I'll randomly, here's 20 seconds of Zen. And you just sit and you just, you know, everybody has 20 seconds to even just step outside. I tell a lot of people, go get your feet on the grass. And, you know, and then, you know, I would get, well, it's, you know, winter or what. I'm like, all right, well, then here's a video and pretend you're by the river, you know, there's 20 seconds by the river and it take 20 seconds just to breathe, you know?
Yeah.
We're always on the go. Like you said, we're programmed that way.
Well, society has taught us that, God forbid, we sit still. And it's gotten worse through the internet. And, you know, it's just, we really need to learn how to reconnect. COVID did a lot. And then just everything since, it's just learning. I feel like people are afraid to connect. They're afraid. And it's about learning how to be vulnerable and speak our emotions and speak our feelings and learning how to communicate. And that, out of everything that I've been through over the since 2022, it's really taught me that being real, being authentic, and being vulnerable, and it's scary.
Yeah.
Because these days you're always feeling like you're judged, and it's like, I don't need
well,
to judge
anyone. Yeah. We all wear masks. Authenticity is a big thing that has been lost today. You hit that right on the head, Amanda. Because think about it. We put on, you know, to get a guy or to fall in love, you have to be and look this way. And if you're at work, you have to act and be this way. And when you're with your mm-hmm. spiritual group, you have to be in it. At what point do you get to sit down and say, hey, I'm just Joanne, and I'm just Amanda, and here I am, and this is me. You know,
mm-hmm.
that gets lost in a lot of people, in a lot of things, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, we've lost track of what matters, you know. It's never mattered to me, you know, a person's religion, sexuality, political, whatever. I don't, you know, are you a good person? That was always my philosophy.
Yes. It
didn't matter anything other than that. And we've lost that. We're segregating ourselves more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. We really are.
You don't fit in this box, so you're wrong, and we can't talk. You know, and that's not right, you know. And we need, like you said, we need to reconnect as people. And that's why, you know, I went with Joyful Empowerment, because there's so much of this swamp out there, you know, My friend is like, gee, I want to do your podcast, but am I allowed to, you know, because she's a Christian. I said, why not? I said, you pray, you know, that's how you find joyful empowerment, you know.
Yeah.
I'd have you on, you know, prayer is prayer, whether, no matter how you do it, you know, and whatever brings you joy. And if that reaches somebody out there and helps them, absolutely. You know, I said, we're not just, you know, you know, it's non-denominational here. You know, we're open to all faiths. And sexualities and whatever. It's a safe space. And that's how I pride myself in keeping things that way for people. You know?
We're
losing that today, and it's very sad.
It is. I think that we need to learn to be more accepted, and I think we need to learn how to accept, but that starts with us. Like, I'm a really firm believer that everything starts within, and that, you know, we look on the outside, and it's usually a reflection to what's going on in the inside. So it's allowing you to fully start accepting and allowing yourself. And that's really at the core at what you do, you know, with, you know, the mental health and everything. Is we are so taught not to fully accept ourselves for majority, you know, and that we're wrong in one way or form, and it's really not the truth. And then we take on either our parents' stuff or grandparents' stuff or friends, you know, because we're not always aware of our own. Through the practices like of meditation and journaling and just my creative outlets in the past and present, it's helped me, and especially journaling has helped me to kind of get back in that center. And then trusting myself to know where I'm going. Because, you know, out of all my spiritual paths, as long as I've been doing it, I would have never thought I would have gone to Haiti and been initiated into Haitian voodoo. And I would have never thought, you know, but it's what.
No, absolutely.
Me, you know, it has helped me heal in many, many ways. And it's forced me to face things that I didn't want to face in myself, or actually got me to believe in myself more. And sometimes we just need to get out of our way. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you've come so far. I mean, with everything you've gone through, that's why I was like, I really wanted you on here, because I'm like, you know, she's been through like hell and back 100 different ways, and look how far she's come. You know, you've really, you know, with you, you're on your, you do your lives every day. I watch them on Instagram, you know, and you're sharing that message forward. And I think that's, you know, what the world needs more of. We don't need another person telling us how to do our daily practice. However way that works for you, do it. And it's funny because I have a Native American friend, Wayne Snellgrove, that group I'm in. And he has a tree story that he talks about, because he always says we are the medicine, because the healing comes from within. We're all connected. We're all a circle of life. No one is better than the next. And he's like, you know, he has this story about a tree, and you know, he was, you know, the man was laying next to the tree and talking to the tree, and, you know, he said, he asked the tree, how do you get through all the seasons and all the different things that go on? And, you know, because a tree is all, and the tree responded, I am all heart all the time. And we need to remember that, you know, like to walk in that beauty, that, you know, the medicine comes from within us. We are the change, you know, you embody what you want to put on this earth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We are definitely, another thing I can tell you with 100% certainty is our environments definitely play a role in who we are today. You know, the things we've gone through in our lives, our childhoods, the type of environment, you know, if you're raised around violence, that's what you're comfortable with, you know, and that's, you know, so many people want to break that chain. I talk to so many young kids, all they want to do is break that chain and be different and do better, you know, but they don't know where to start, you know.
Absolutely.
We really need to take a look at our youth, you know. What example are we setting for people?
Yeah, you know, my children, since becoming a mom, and my children are still young, my oldest is 10 years old, but literally they're my inspiration every day to be better, to do better. And they make me think, and they remind me as well, and they tell me some beautiful, beautiful just truth and wisdom. And
from the mouths of babes.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And I think we need to listen to kids more, honestly. You know, they're really, they're, some of the truths that come out of it and their innocence and the joy, it's beautiful.
And that's another thing, you know, that I hear a lot of from the kids that I work with. They just want to be validated. They just want to know that, hey, yeah, that is fucked up what happened. You know what I mean? They want that validation that it's not right. You know what I mean? Because they're not getting that at home. You know, there's so much relational trauma that gets hidden. And it's scary, you know, when I think of it. And these kids just want somebody to listen. And that's what I hear all the time. They're like, it's, you know, because a lot of the times, you know, my daughter would bring me home these kids, you know, and I'd like, and it would just start with a conversation. How was your day? And, you know, all this happened and how did that make you feel? And then all of a sudden, randomly out of the blue, they're blurting out a major trauma. And I'm like, and at first it scared me. I was like, you obviously can't show your emotion that it's like, wow, this is horrifying. And, you know, I was like, oh, wow, that's terrible. And they're like, oh, it's not your fault. I said, no, but it's still not right that you had to go through that. And I remember, you know, like the first time after it happened, you know, after the girl left, I cried for like a half an hour.
Wow.
Because, you know, just hearing what people, you know, what was done to her. And, you know, she was like, wow. She's like, that was like therapy, but it wasn't. And, you know, they open up and they start talking about it and they start releasing it and they start feeling better. And they're like, you know, usually, you know, because I'd be like, oh, have you gone to counselors? I don't like counselors. They don't listen and blah, 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 you know, and this and that. And I'll be like, oh, well, how was your day? You know, and next thing you know, just talking to them through a conversation, they'll blurt it out. And it was the weirdest thing to me to get used to that. Now I'm used to it, you know, I'll sit there and then they'll be like, well, you know, I was, this and this happened to me and, you know, or this and this and this happened to me when I was five. And it's like, you know, they just want somebody to listen and we really need to listen to them.
We do. You know, I had a really, from the age of nine and on, it was a very challenging, rough childhood. And I grew up very fast. I had to raise my my sisters and my brother. And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I grew up very fast. And I was pretty much the second mom and main person. And it continued until as I got older. But that was exactly what I needed, was to be heard and to be seen and to be respected. But I had to go through, see what I needed to do to change.
Yeah.
And I always knew that. Like, I watched my parents. Like, my father has battled with alcohol for a really, really long time. And thank you. And, I mean, we haven't had a best relationship until actually recently. And, but I had to heal. and I had to respect him and just love him for him.
Yeah.
And allow myself to let go of the anger or the
mm-hmm.
hurt. Because really, if you look at anger, anger is hurt. Anger is
just
so allow that to come out. And then I had to change my view of how I saw men and how I saw women and how I saw family. And you, and you have somebody to sit there and help you, or if you're in a spiritual place, you're not going to see that. And you're just going to keep repeating.
Yeah. So, well, I tell people the dysfunctional merry-go-round stops when you decide to get off.
Yeah. 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 It does.
You know, because it is. You have to change your patterns of what you do. You have to do a total 180. You know, whatever you're doing, you got to completely reverse it. And that's a hard thing, you know, especially if you don't have that support around you. And, you know, you're on your own thinking about that. And a lot of these kids don't have that support at home. They don't have that voice that says, hey, I believe in you, you know?
Yeah. You know, I went and had lunch with me and TJ did with my kids about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And just the children and how they gravitated. And they were just wanting to talk to me. And I was just giving them compliments and what I liked. And I had one just look at me and go, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And I'm just like, you're beautiful, too. You know? And it's like,
I love that.
You know, it's the beauty, it's the heart, and I feel like that's what we need to get back to as, in general, in people, is to get back to the heart and to get back to that connection.
We need
to
let kids be kids, too, you know. My daughter is 19 years old, and she's like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm an adult now. I'm like, you're 19. I mean, you know, come on. You've got plenty of time, you know, and we do. We push our kids to, you know, at school, sit still all day. You know, it's like, what 8-year-old can sit still all day? You know, I still think kids should have recess in high school. They need that, you know what I mean? Or middle school and all that. They need that time because when they get out of school, they need to release it. And then they go home and it's like, be quiet, go to your room, do this, you know. Jump on a video game. And, you know, kids need to be more participatory in life, you know, I think. And like you said, live in the moment, you know, live in the now.
Very much so.
I look back on, you know, it goes by so quick. My daughter's 19 now, and it's like she's a sophomore in college. And, you know, I'm looking at pictures on, you know, the memories on Facebook or apple picking and, you know, and all those trips to the beach where it was like a nightmare packing all the toys and all the stuff. And and now I'm like, I wish I could go back to that. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I wish I had more of that. I wish I could sit on a park bench with my dad and just talk to him more. And, you know, because I grew up with a narcissistic mother. So, you know. I'm never enough, you know, I'm my own worst competition. Like I'm done with this degree. And I'm like, well, maybe I should, start my PhD. I'm like, well, no, maybe I'll just wait and get a job and let them pay for that part. Cause I have enough student debt right now.
Yes. I completely get it. And I'm very similar and it's like, yeah, Mandy, you know,
I'm not even done with this. And I'm like, all right, what do I do now? There's no way I have enough credentials to do what I do. And I'm like, you know, I'm just Joanne, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. At what point, you know what I mean? How many more credentials do I need? You know?
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, how can I bring the joy back into what I do? Because I think we forget to really have fun at what we love to do, you know, and to never really lose that child. I think we lose that child, like, innocence and joy so easily. Instead,
you become jaded, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, we need to keep that. We need to find that joy and to keep it, because
yeah,
it's pressure. It's precious. I mean, and, you know, I love animals.
And as adults, we forget, you know, as adults, we forget what it was like to be 15. You know what I mean?
We
and
do.
It's like, think, you know, go back there and think about you at 15 and what you were doing. You know, and it's like, just think about that, and it changes your whole perspective. It's like, you know, and I get it, so because I was also that little bit of a rebellious teen. You know, I probably had a little bit more independence than I should have, but I remember where I was at that age, you know, and the attitudes and the perspectives and, you know, things like that. And a lot of times as parents, we forget.
We do. And, you know, I am reminded every day with my children not to harp on them.
Yeah.
Because I'm Eddie, think about when you were a kid. What did you do? You come home, want to watch TV. You really want to do homework. So I'm a little more understanding, but I'm still firm. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, come on, guys. We have routine. Let's do this.
Well, no, but you know, you got to break it. I get it. You know, we all need some structure. But, you know, but, you know, you got to be understanding that when these kids get home from school, they need some time to unwind, you know, and that's what I tell the parents. You wonder why your kid's stressing you out, because they need to go out and run around for a half an hour.
Yeah.
Take them to the park before dinner or whatever and let them run it out. That was my thing with my daughter. We'd let her run it out somehow, you know, to get out that, you know, from sitting all day.
Yeah.
You're asking an 8-year-old kid to sit still all day. Good luck with that. I remember at 8 years old, I didn't want to sit still.
Oh, no. And I was that rebellious kid of always like, oh, you're telling me what to do? Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
Nope.
The nuns used to say I was bold as brass. And I'd be like, okay, question everything. I drove them nuts. I'd ask the priest in confession, who are you to forgive me? Why can't I just tell God I'm sorry and really mean it? You're just a human being. What gives you the right to forgive me? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was bad.
No, you were.
I was
you
a little. Well, I had questions like, why are you so freaking special? You know, like, you're a human. Why are you different? Why do you get to forgive me? Why can't I just tell God and not do it again? And he'll know I'm sorry if he knows everything.
Exactly.
And they'd just look at me like. Like, I don't even think they knew what to say. They were just like, wow, I don't.
I did something very similar, and I was just like, in Sunday school, my mom, one of the few times she took me to church, and they had to call her down to come and get me, because I was like, well, what about this? I got so yelled at. But, yeah, yep. I mean, I was that curious kid, like, why? 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 Why?
Yeah.
Why? Jesus loves everybody, doesn't he? Why are we saying Jesus loves me? Why is this so special? Like, he loves everybody. Love is special. And they just would look at me. I'm like, yeah, I was that kid.
How did they get all the animals on the boat? All these different species we have. What kind of boat was that? And then, you know, like, oh, God, yeah. What about is that why the dinosaurs are gone? Because they couldn't fit? Yeah. None of it made sense.
No, and it still doesn't. Like, some of the rules and stuff, when I let my mind go, and I'm like, well, why is this? And why is that? Why do we have, you know? And I think we can go down those rabbit holes all the time. But, I mean, yeah. I feel you. Yes, I told you, you know, you're a soul sister.
And then I was like, you know, so if God didn't want us to eat the apple, why'd he give us free will? Why
mm-hmm.
didn't he just, you know, make us not eat the apple? And they'd be like, because he gave us free will. I'm like, but that makes no sense. So the apple was there for the eating anyway.
Very true.
And they'd just look at me.
Yes.
I know. I'm. These are the
what?
Things that would go through my mind, you know, and I'm like, hey, you know. And
absolutely.
I'd ask, because, you know, supposedly they were the, you know, they had the direct line to God, you know, is what we were told, you know, and I'm like, oh,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, so answer me this, you know, and they couldn't answer. And then, you know,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you're as bold as brass. And I said, well, you know, I'm not just going to take what you tell me at face value, you know. I've always questioned it. I've always wanted to know why. It's probably why I'm a therapist. I've always
uh-huh.
wanted to know why people do what they do, you know.
Yep. Yep. You know,
which is what
one
is,
of my...
you know, which is how I've changed, you know.
I think never losing that again, that wonder. I mean, and for me as a kid, I was always in the trees. You know, you mentioned the trees earlier, and I remember.
Yes.
That's my, like, if you really want to sit and ground and you really want to kind of connect, go sit against a tree. Go get in a tree. I haven't been in a
yeah.
tree in a while, but, you know.
I had a whole set of woods near my house with rocks, and me and my
uh-huh.
friends called it New Rock City, and we had one rock. There was a crack in it that looked like a cross, and that was like the church rock, and then we had another one that looked like a stovetop, so that was the restaurant rock. Yeah, we had New Rock City. Always in the woods.
Mhm. And looking at animals. I mean, I love animals. At times, I think
oh,
I'd
yeah.
rather be with animals than with people sometimes. But it's just because they're so loving. Like they're just
yeah.
like my dog. He'll come up. He knows when I'm stressed, and he'll just come up and put his head in my lap, and it's like, Mom, love me. And then he just wants love. And it's like.
Aww.
God, I love you. Thank you. I really needed
yep.
this.
Doesn't matter how bad your day is. They're always happy to see you when you come home.
Yes. Yes. And I think we really need... Another thing that's helped me is just being kind to others. Like, generally, I really do care about people. I try. I get hurt a lot because
yeah,
not everybody...
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, so open and coming from that place of love. And I think that's why, you know, those that do, it gets hard because it's like,
mm-hmm.
why are you really that hurt? And it's like, yes, a lot of the times, yes. And then it also could be a reflection, what do you need to heal?
Yeah.
You know, and you could hear.
Well,
and go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, again, we come into each other's lives either as a mirror or because we connect, there's a connection. You know, it's usually a purpose and a reason, and we don't always know it sometimes, and sometimes we do, and then it's allowing us to grow and to learn from one another. And it's, again, leaning back to that connection. We are meant to have connection. We are
mm-hmm.
meant to have and be in tribes. That is our
yeah.
nature.
We are the medicine, as my friend says.
Yeah, we are. You know, my grandmother was indigenous, and she was Cherokee, and she was Apache. She, her mother was Apache. Her father was Cherokee, and my dad's mom. And, you know, for her, they left the little village she was in after my great-grandfather passed from Black Lung. And she was nine years old. And after that, they just claimed white because they didn't want to register. They didn't want to be under the government. And I respect that. But so much of my tradition was lost, and that's what actually took me onto my path, was to feel that, to get that connection. And
yeah,
it's interrupt, but we have 4 minutes left, just to let you know.
Oh, thank you. Well, if anybody wants to work with you or get a hold of you, Amanda, how can they do that while
they
we have some time?
We have, well, they can go to 3CrowsConjure, the number 3CrowsConjure.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. So you
Oh,
can
wow.
find us, yeah. So we're all out there. Not always updated, but yes. Instagram and Facebook are the main ones. And then you can email us at the number 3CrowsConjure@gmail.com.
Nice. That way, you know, if people want to get a hold of you for things or readings, you know, I like
mm-hmm.
to promote.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, and no, thank you for coming on. This was such an interesting conversation. I feel like we could go on for hours. See, this is what happens. It's like, wow, the hour's up. Everybody's like, how are we going to take up an hour? I'm like, yeah, well, usually we end it with like, wow, we have so much more to talk about. But thank you for coming on. I mean, this was an amazing talk tonight. We covered so much ground. I love it.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here and to be invited and, you know, thank you.
Well,
thank
I
you.
Definitely hope we can work on this again. This would be great. I'd love to have a part two to this because you have
Absolutely.
A lot of just good insight for people. And I, like I said, I think your story is pretty amazing. I love it.
Thank you.
I want to thank my audience for being out there for Joyful Empowerment. I will see you next month at the fourth Wednesday of the month. And my guest is going to be the amazing Jill Schweitzer. And we will talk Joyful Empowerment on Mount Olympus with her for the Samhain season. So she's coming up with some good topics to talk about for us. You still
Thank
with me, Amanda?
Thank you so very much. You guys are awesome. And is there any last thoughts either of you would like to leave the audience with this week?
Amanda?
I'm here. Honestly, just be true to who you are. Let your soul come through and speak. Sit and listen to it. And I just want to thank everybody for, you know, thank you all for having me on here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming on. Thank you, Hercules. And my message to everyone is remember that we are the medicine. So go out there and heal the world.
There you go. Powerful words from a powerful lady. And thanks to our wonderful audience for being here. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you'll check us out later on. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And thanks again, ladies.
Have a great night, Hercules.
You too.
Yes, have a